The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Mary said, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked upon his lowly servant. From this day all generations will call me blessed. The Almighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. He has mercy on those who fear him in every generation. He has shown the strength of his arm and has scattered the proud in their conceit. He has cast down the mighty from their thrones and has lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has come to the help of his servant Israel, for he has remembered his promise of mercy, the promise he made to our fathers, to Abraham and his children forever." Mary remained with Elizabeth about 3 months and then returned to her home. The Gospel of the Lord. Our Lady says, "My spirit rejoices in God my Savior." And it's easy to look at this moment and think, well, of course Our Lady would be filled with joy. Here she's going to have a child. She's seeing God's will fulfilled. The Messiah is coming to the earth. But my brothers and sisters, the truth is, this was Our Lady's interior experience always. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. And we can be absolutely certain that that was true always for Our Lady, because it's part of the gospel message. St. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." And if we believe, as we do, that all of Scripture is inspired by the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit wanted us to know that. And if the Holy Spirit says, "Rejoice in the Lord always," then it has to be possible to do so. And so Our Lady must have always been rejoicing in the Lord. And so you might think, well, gosh, Father, didn't she ever experience sorrow? You know, weren't there times that she was sad? She experienced greater sorrow than any human being ever. When she was at the foot of the cross, there was no more profound sorrow that any human heart felt than in that moment for Our Lady. And in the same moment, it was commingled with joy. The greatest joy that anyone has ever experienced other than her son, because she knew that it was God's will, that her son was redeeming the world, that she was becoming the spiritual mother of all the redeemed, that this was giving glory to God the Father. My brothers and sisters, it is a mystery of our faith that the two always go hand in hand, sorrow and joy. And if we are really living our faith in the moments of greatest sorrow, we also ought to experience, through the grace and peace of Christ, this profound joy. There are two reasons for Our Lady's joy that I want to focus on. The first, what do we hear in the Magnificat? The entire thing is focusing on God. Every line begins, "He has shown, he has cast down, he has filled." All her attention on God. As a priest, I can tell you that my experience is that 95% of the time that a person comes to me feeling sadness or sorrow or is gloomy or depressed, it is because their attention is on themselves. And it's this great deception of the evil one that the sorrow begins with compassion for another. "Father, my child is suffering. My friend, my family member is going through a great hardship." And the person, by a deception, chooses to remain in that sorrow because their attention is taken away from their child or their friend or their loved one, and it goes back to themselves. And they grovel in this sorrow. And they don't turn to our Lord in the midst of it, who would give them joy, because he would reveal to them, "My son, my daughter, there's a great plan in the midst of this. I'm allowing your child to experience this so that it will be a transformative experience, that they will turn to me in the midst of it. Your friend is going through this hard time so that finally he or she will reach out to me that I can be their Savior. Look to me and not to yourself in the midst of this. And secondly, for Our Lady, at the wedding feast of Cana, Our Lady comes to her son and says, they have no more wine. Who is the one who is attentive to the other? That wasn't just like a one-time experience for Mary. That was something that she did always. Because when we're not looking at ourselves, our eyes, because we're looking at God, He then turns them to our neighbor. And we're constantly seeking, how can I help the other in my life? It's like the story that the priest shared of Mother Teresa when he's on a 3-hour train ride, so thirsty in humid, hot India, and thinking, man, when can I get a drink? And gets back to the convent with Mother Teresa. She immediately goes and brings him a glass of water. And he realizes, while I was thinking about my own thirst, so was Mother Teresa. Not thinking about the thirst that she must have had, because she was in the same heat and humidity, she was thinking of me. I want to close with this. Every single one of us will have times where we turn to sadness or sorrow, and oftentimes rightfully so, that we should be feeling compassion for another, or maybe we ourselves are going through a trial. We should never allow ourselves to remain there. When we do that, we are making a choice, whether we realize it or not. And by choosing to remain in that sadness or sorrow, we are stepping outside of God's will and drawing inward, which prevents us from looking outward, which our Lord would desire us to do. So two things. One of the greatest ways to come out of that is to simply go do something good for another. Get your eyes off yourself. Go do some work of charity. Call a neighbor who's going through a tough time. Whatever it takes. But most importantly, to turn to our Lord in the midst of that. Say, Jesus, I know that you do not desire me to remain here. Lift me out of this. Help me to stop looking at myself and to look at you, so that I may find hope and peace and even joy in the midst of this. He will always give us the grace to do so.